you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew's account of the gospel. Matthew chapter 8 is where we are today. Jesus has delivered what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of that, in chapter 7, we read, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law." Now, beginning in chapter 8, we'll read the first four verses. This is God's word. "When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said. 'Be clean.' Immediately, he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, 'See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. How many of you have seen a person with leprosy in person? Let me just see your hands. I don't think I see anybody. Nobody's seen this. How many of you have a relative who's had leprosy? No? Really? Well, that's why I asked the question. Because we can't imagine fully what this picture represents. Lepers had a skin disease that affected their entire life, not just their body. They lost sensation and would get injured as a result and begin to lose digits and eventually, in many cases, limbs. Digits meaning fingers and toes. You see, pain is actually a helpful thing, because if you don't have sensation, you're going to be more inclined to get hurt. My oldest child was born with spina bifida and hydrocephalus. Spina bifida means there was an opening in the spine so that the signals from the brain don't get to his lower extremities. That's why he's in a wheelchair and doesn't walk. So on the one hand, the thing that kept him from being able to walk also kept him from being hurt. That doesn't sound so bad. Well, it was bad when he was real little and in a little carrier thing that moms wear, you know, where they can just put the child in like a little papoose. And she's my wife, my precious, wonderful wife, who's a fabulous mother and grandmother, has her son here, her firstborn child, and she's making spaghetti. And the pot is boiling water with noodles in it. And Paul's foot gets against the pot and begins to cook. Because you see, he didn't feel any pain. So he ended up with a burn on his foot that no other child would have gotten. Because the rest of us, if we touch something hot immediately, just without thinking, we don't have to think, "Wow, this is hot. I ought not to be touching this." It's a reflex in our body that when we feel the pain, we pull back. Paul didn't feel the pain, so there was no reflex to pull back, so Paul got burned. People with leprosy, that's just one of the complications physically. But this changes their whole life because leprosy is contagious. And because leprosy is contagious, God told his people, if somebody has leprosy, they can't live with their family. They can't live in the community. They've got to go and be separate. They're outside the camp. The only people that they can be around are other people with leprosy. And so, if you were a leper, you not only hadn't been touched by anybody but another leper in a long, long time, but you couldn't even get close to non-lepers. If you came around, you were required by law to call out, unclean, unclean, so that people knew to stay back. This guy came up to Jesus. He had leprosy. And he knelt before him. And he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You can heal me. Now, he knew not all about Jesus, the incarnate God-man, the one who was there at the creation of the world. He didn't understand all that. But he knew that Jesus had the power to do what no other human could do. And that was to heal him. And that's what he wanted. He didn't just want a cure for his physical problem. He wanted to be back with his family. He wanted to be able to have a job and function in society. He wanted his life. And Jesus said to him, I am willing. Be clean. Isn't that beautiful? But it's not all. Jesus didn't just speak. Jesus reached out and touched the man. That was healing on a whole different level. I am a confessed germaphobe. I don't like to touch stuff that's not clean. And germs, somehow in my neurotic mind, if I'm around somebody who's sick, I can not only picture a cloud of atomized germs headed my way, but I certainly don't want to touch something that's been germy because it got touched by them. You know, people do. And then they touch things. If you got some on your hand, don't touch stuff. Go wash your hands or pull out your little bottle of hand sanitizer. Kill those germs because I can see them crawling toward me. If I touch something, they just immediately, they say, oh, it's Jim Wood. And they jump onto my hand and start climbing up my arms and they get in my lungs and they make me, like the rest of humanity, immune to something. But you see, I know I've got this problem, and it goes way back into my childhood, and I got it from my father, and I could give you all the psychological roots and dynamics and so forth. But what I want you to know is this. When I was a teenager, I went to a conference in Montreat specifically, not because I wanted to learn something good, but because I knew that the people who were leading the conference did not believe the Bible. They didn't. They didn't believe the Bible was true. They didn't teach what the Bible said. They were just all about other stuff. And so I went to hear what they were saying because I kind of enjoyed sitting in judgment, like a self-righteous Pharisee, sitting in judgment on those people as I heard their distorted teachings, and I reaffirmed in my own mind how right I am because I know how wrong they are. Well, they did something as kind of an icebreaker, kind of warm people up at the start of the meeting. They said, we want everybody to turn to someone near you and shake their hand, tell them your name, and tell them something interesting about yourself. That was the assignment. Well, believe it or not, I know I don't come across this way because I've worked hard to overcome it, but believe it or not, I was actually a very shy, introverted person. I really was. I was willing to talk to people about Jesus, but that was about the only thing. And I would do that because I knew that people needed to know Jesus. But when it came to just making chit-chat, going to parties, being social, I was very uncomfortable. So this assignment of turning around and talking to people made me uncomfortable, but I was seated right down front, so there was nobody in front of me that I could deal with, and there was no one beside me I could deal with, so I did the only thing that I could do in order to be compliant, and that is I turned around, and there was a fellow behind me who was a little bit odd-looking, and I said, hi, I'm Jim Wood. And he said, hi, my name is, and I can't even honestly tell you what he said his name was. I'm bad with names. And I said, I'm from Montreat. I live right here in the town. And he told me where he was from, and I'll tell you this, I don't remember that either. And I couldn't think of anything interesting about myself. I said, the only thing that might be interesting about me is just, like I said, I live here in Montreat, which most people don't get to. Small town. And he said, well, an interesting thing about me is I have a brain tumor, and it's right here. And there was a lump on his head, literally. And he said, you want to touch it? That's what he said to me. And he touched it with his hand, and he took my hand again. And in my sick, twisted mind, I'm picturing little seed tumors immediately going to his fingertips and then into my hand and just saying, quick, get to the brain. It's not that far. Isn't that sick? I don't mean isn't he sick. I mean isn't he sick, me. And I said, no, I won't touch it. Thank you. And then they started the music up, and we turned around, and I exited the auditorium. And I went straight into the men's room, and I began washing my hands. And I'm washing my hands and just thinking how gross that was. And the Lord spoke to my heart and recalled this passage and said, I touched a leper. And you're afraid to touch that man. Do you love him? I love him. And I started to tear up because I realized what a pathetic, sick individual I am. I didn't come to this meeting to learn anything. I didn't think the people on the platform had anything to teach me. But the fact of the matter is God was still there, and he had something to teach me, and that is that instead of being focused on the problem somebody else has, I needed to deal with the problem I have, and my problem is I didn't love people. I was more concerned about my imaginary view of germs and tumors and so forth. I was the sick one. That guy with the knot on his head, he was healthier than me in many ways because I had been blessed in so many ways by God. And yet instead of being concerned about the well-being of others, I was still totally bent on protecting myself. Jesus did something shocking He reached out and he touched him. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. And he said, I am willing. I am willing. Be healed. Be clean. And immediately he was cured. Cured of his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, see to it you don't tell anyone. Go to the priest. Do what the law commands. Offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Well, I really like this because apparently you've got a problem, you know, like sickness or something like that. You just go to Jesus and you say, I know that if you're willing, you can heal me. And boom, Jesus says, I am willing, and he heals you. Isn't that great? Always works that way, doesn't it? Does it? You remember a guy that Jesus really knew well? He had come to know Jesus well. His name was Paul. It used to be Saul back when he was persecuting the church, but then God saved him and filled him with the Holy Spirit and sent him out to do ministry that literally changed history. He wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else. He was clearly chosen by God, loved by God, used by God. And Paul says he had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that harassed him, made him miserable. And he said, three times I begged the Lord to take it away. But the Lord didn't take it away. Why not? Why would God not heal Paul? Paul laid his hands on sick people and they got well. When Paul's asking for healing, he's not getting it. How can that be? Well, Paul says in his case, it's because that problem of his was not as bad as the alternative, which would have been pride. In order to keep him from becoming prideful, God sent a messenger of Satan to torment him. Why? To keep him humble. Paul could have ended up like me in that room, thinking how spiritual I was and how ungodly these people were. But God did something to help Paul remember from day to day and place to place, situation to situation, that he's utterly dependent on God. God's done various things for me across the years in order to help me realize what a mess I am on my own, what a disaster I am apart from him. I'm sorry to say that I didn't learn the lesson one time and then, man, I'll never make that mistake again. And sure enough, I've never made that mistake again. I've made various forms of that mistake in various situations over the decades. And God, my Father, has mercifully continued to shepherd me, to teach me, to remind me that Jesus came to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am the chief. Paul had done horrible things, persecuting Christians to death. But God not only forgave him, he cleansed him, changed him, filled him, used him. And God can do great things with you. So you think I might write some of the New Testament? No, the Bible is complete. But he's still speaking through his word to his people today. I want to just ask you honestly, do you recognize that you've got a problem? The guy with leprosy did. He had a problem that he could not overlook. Some of us have problems that we kind of, you know, ignore. We think we're doing okay because other people have the same problem I do, so I guess it's really not that much of a problem. Well, no, it is. It is. Do you recognize that you've got a problem? The guy with leprosy recognized he had a problem. Do you believe Jesus can change you? Jesus might ask you the question that he asked someone else who'd been ill and infirmed for a long, long time. Jesus looked at him and said, do you want to get well? So do you acknowledge that you've got a problem, and do you want to get well? Do you want to be changed? This guy wanted to be changed. He wanted to be healed. Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Do you believe that Jesus has the power to change you? If you do, will you come to him in humility and say, Lord, I can't fix my problem. I can't fix myself. Please, Lord, change me. Heal me. Because what you will find is that God is full of mercy. God is full of grace. And if you come to him with your problem, he makes all things new. If you are in Christ, sooner or later, all the problems are going to be gone. Every tear is going to be wiped away in heaven. You may be delivered from the problem that you're concerned about immediately, like this man was, or it may be something that God does later on. I've seen God answer prayers that I didn't think he was going to answer because I'd prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing happened. And I said, okay, I guess the answer is no. Well, no, the answer was not yet. I've seen God do that. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament is the father of John the Baptist going about his priestly duties, and an angel appears to him and says, your prayers have been answered. You and your wife are going to have a baby. And he's thinking, what? We prayed that prayer a long time ago, and we've been childless for a long time, and now we're old, okay? And now you're telling me you're going to answer the prayer? Really? It's hard to believe. So he lost his voice until the baby was born. You remember that story? I don't know what you're praying for. I don't know what you're saying. God, I know you can if you're willing. But I'll tell you this, God knows. He knows what you're praying for. He even knows the things that you need that you haven't realized you need yet. He even knows the things that you ought to be praying for. And so it's a good exercise to go to him and say, Lord, guide me, please, as I pray, that I would pray in accordance with your spirit, that I would say and do what you want. Because ultimately, I want your kingdom to come, and I want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, I am willing, be clean. And immediately, he was cured of the leprosy. Jesus can change everything in a moment. Sometimes he changes things over time. But if you're trusting Jesus, I can guarantee you this, on the authority of God's word, you're trusting Jesus. He keeps his promises and he will make all things new.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit WVR.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit WVR.org today. That's WVR.org.